Hey Siri, what fantasy sports podcast should I listen to?
Beast the Odds, fantasy sports and sports investing with your host, 12-time DFS champion qualifier and counting, 5-time MLB Fantasy Pros HR champion, back-to-back years, highest-rated NFL Fantasy Pros expert MVP seasons in Peyton Manning 2013, Matt Ryan 2016, Tom Brady 2017, Mantra Domus.
Beastome Nation, happy Tuesday. It is April the 13th of 2021. That gives us a new slate of both baseball and basketball. Honestly, it's basically paradise time for me. I love picking baseball games. If you were with us last week, you saw all the dominant W's that came with everything. Just sign up for the program. Last night, it's free. Just send me a DM. Send me an email. Last night, if you were with us, you would have had a parlay with the Padres and the Yankees. Today, we're going the generous route, and we're going to do the whole episode for free. You can get the private episodes. Just send an email to beast@beastdome.com or a DM. All right, let's go through the Major League Baseball slate. Let's go through the NBA slate. Let's just pick the winners, and let's pick the fantasy beasts. And you know what? While we're at it for today's episode, we're going to pick, well, just like must plays in DFS. I'm going to say them as they go, so you're going to want to pay attention. All right, well, let's start with, I guess we might as well start with the 1240 slate. The first opening game, 1240 Pacific time. The first opening game for MLB was a little too weird for me with the snow and just them forcing it and everything that happened in Minnesota. That game just doesn't feel clear cut. Though, I will say Boston does have an edge with no Nelson Cruz. All right, so the first game, Oakland, Arizona. Zach Gallen making his season debut. Good for him. That arm injury seemed like could have been more serious. He's going up against an Oakland squad that is without Matt Olson today. So that's definitely an advantage for Gallen. Not facing that tough of an Athletics lineup. It's weird to call them the Athletics. I feel like no one calls them the Athletics. I think they actually have to win games to be called the Athletics. Otherwise, they're just the A's. Matt Chapman finally getting, well, his second home run of the year. But the rest of this A's squad is just very weak. Little offense, very little that can hit Gallen. Not liking Oakland's chance to get really any run support going, even though it's Gallen's debut. He may only go 5 innings. Lizardo, on the other hand, Lizardo looked great in his second start against the Dodgers. Now he's going up against a D-back squad that's really not that scary. Christian Walker is not there. Kettle Marte is not there. So you're really just facing Estrubel Cabrera, Eduardo Escobar, and David Peralta. And Lizardo can shut all three of those guys down very easily. Rest of the lineup is not scary at all. I like the under 8.5, but the smarter play is the under 5 for the first 5. That's like giving candy to a baby. Both should be fine. Arizona's bullpen could definitely let up. Oakland's bullpen can definitely let up. So that's why I like the under 5 first 5 a lot more. If that first 5 doesn't hit and it's 6 or something like that, going the 6th inning, you're in a lot of trouble. Next game, Seattle at Baltimore. Justice Sheffield taking the mound against the O's. The O's do have guys that can hit him. It's that big looping curveball, definitely in danger. John Means will be taking the bump for the Orioles. He's looked great this year. He has been on fire, shutting down the Yankees in his last start. Very impressive stuff. He shut down the Red Sox in his first start. This Seattle Mariners squad, not really the scariest offense. I mean, Haniger can hit, France can hit, but the middle of that lineup of Torrens, Moore, and Murphy, and Seager, well, Seager's not going to hit Means. That's just too tough. Honestly, I would go Baltimore here if I had to do anything. If I had to do anything, I'd go with Baltimore in this game. That's a 1:05 Pacific time start. Yeah, Baltimore if I had to do anything, but I wouldn't force it, but Justice Sheffield could have trouble with the middle of that lineup. Next up, Philly at Mets. Taijuan Walker on the mound. Taijuan Walker looks solid against the Marlins, but against the Phillies, that's a little too rich for my blood. There's a lot of offensive guys on the Phillies that can hit. Hoskins, Harper, Baum, Didi's hot. There's too much risk there. I wouldn't go with Taijuan with confidence. As far as the Mets offense goes against the Phillies, Chase Anderson on the hill. The Mets really haven't started hitting yet. I mean, they're just not hitting the ball that well. I wouldn't touch the game. Yes, both offenses can go off. You know, if you want to go fancy and take the over on itself, very small, because only 7 runs is really nothing in a game where neither pitcher is that safe. If I had to go on a side, I'd say Phillies, but I'm not in love with Chase Anderson enough to back him with confidence. If you want to do anything, you can go over. I wouldn't touch it. No, there's a million baseball games left this year. There's no reason to touch that game. Next up, San Diego at Pittsburgh. Blake Snell on the mound against Chad Kuhl. It's Chad Kuhl. He's too cool for school. He's only going to throw about 2 or 3 innings in this one. It's just a short reliever coming off of serious Tommy John surgery a couple years ago. But Blake Snell's really the story here. Pittsburgh's not going to be able to hit Snell at all. He is going to be a dynamite on fire. Cool. He has not landed for safety at all in this one. Pretty much 1 through 7 can do good damage, and even 1 through 6, I should say, for the Padres can do great damage. But even 7 and 8 are semi-hot with Kim and Caratini, and Kuhl's just not going to hit. San Diego, you can lock that game up in like any parlay you want to put that in. You can put that in just with confidence. There's nothing to stop you there. You know Snell's going to dominate. You know the Padres are going to give him run support. 1 through 6 is hitting. 7 and 8 are hot with Kim and Caratini. Pittsburgh's not hitting. They're not going to hit Snell. They never seen Snell. They're not going to hit Snell. Seattle at Baltimore. The second game of the doubleheader. I like this Dean Kremer guy. He had struggled against the Yankees, which is no surprise. Hard to do anything against that offense. But he's also looked good against the Yankees last year as a rookie. He's going up against the Seattle team once again. Not a lot of offensive threat, especially with a hard-throwing righty. Seager might bounce back, and that game, Trammell's not bad as well. But Baltimore's with Kremer on the mound should be able to hold Seattle down. On the other side, we got Mara Jovicius on the mound for Seattle and another soft throwing lefty. This Baltimore offense can take them. Baltimore could potentially win a doubleheader. If they don't win game one, they'll win game two. They could win both. Is there anything fantasy wise? I mean, the middle of that Baltimore lineup can definitely hit. I would not be surprised if they got him some run support. Next up, the Yankees and Toronto. We got Talion on the mound against Jin Ryu. You know, you always look for Ryu in searches, but he's under Jin Ryu when you have to type in the last name. Anyways, Ryu against this Yankee squad filled with right-handed power is just they're going to spank him. Ryu's good, but this is too tough of a matchup, especially because the Yankees just saw a lefty yesterday in Robbie Ray, who they struggled against. They got 2 home runs from Higoshika. You like that right there, little Japanese rendition. Anyways, there's enough offense on the Yankees where enough guys can step up with the pop. Talion on the mound, he can definitely limit this Blue Jays offense. Biggio maybe has a chance to do anything. Vlad Guerrero semi-hot, but the back of that order with Grichuk, Davis, Jansen, even Rowdy Tellez hasn't even started hitting the ball, and Gurriel might not even play. I'm not too scared. Yankees should be able to take this one. I love their bats against Ryu. Now, do we like him as much as San Diego? No. San Diego's on a whole nother level. Next up, We're in Tampa Bay, where Kyle Gibson, who threw an amazing game in his last start, is now going up against, Texas is at Tampa, and Gibson's on the mound. Now, can Tampa Bay hit Gibson? That's a big question. And the answer is yes, they can, because Lowe's hot, Meadows is hot. Even Rosarena can definitely do damage against Gibson. Gibson's going to have no cakewalk here. On the other hand, Ryan Yarbrough, the soft throwing lefty, I guess we can say hard throwing lefty. Look, it's not a bad matchup for him. This is actually a game Tampa Bay can win. I would put this under the same category as the Yankees. Tampa Bay can win just as much as the Yankees can win. Yarbrough should be able to throw a good game. I wouldn't be surprised if he didn't. There's enough offense for Tampa Bay to make it happen. They're at home. I'm going to say Tampa can take that one. All right, next up, Miami, Atlanta. You know what I love about baseball is there's so many games that you really just have to find the gems. Miami at Atlanta, Max Fried on the mound. Max Fried, I mean, let's be honest. He has looked better in his career than he did in his last start, where he gave up 2 innings, 5 earned against Washington. He kind of struggled against Philly too, but this is a real matchup that he can come back to life in. Though that little beginning of the lineup with Marte, Aguilar, and Duvall, and Anderson, there's enough pop in that part of the lineup which can really limit the upside of Fried. Pablo Lopez, on the other hand, he's a sharp pitcher. Atlanta's offense, they have been hot, but Pablo Lopez is a pitcher I wouldn't want to mess around with. I'm going to say you avoid this game. Just, there's nothing to love about it. There's too many games. Hendricks, Woodruff, Cubs, Brewers, Yelich expected back in the lineup. Woodruff's the one Milwaukee pitcher that probably you give respect to. So Cubs offense, yeah, they're good on paper, but they really aren't hitting well. Cubs offense, yeah, they're not hitting well enough, especially against Woodruff. On the other hand, the Brewers do have enough offense to hit Hendricks, but I wouldn't take this game just because the Cubs are a better team on paper, but Woodruff can definitely limit them. And Hendricks, well, he is the Cubs' best pitcher. It's not like we're taking a scrub against Brewers, so we're going to skip that game as well. Next up, the over-under is very low at 7.5, too, which is a possible hit because Woodruff could throw a strong game and that would hit it. All right, next up, Phillies, Mets, Stroman, Nola. Game 2 of the doubleheader. We'll see what the Mets do with their lineup here. But Stroman against the Phillies. Stroman's great, but this Phillies offense is one I don't want to mess around with. And even though Aaron Nola is great as well, there's just too much upside in that Mets lineup that I wouldn't want to touch it. There's just nothing to fall in love with there. So we're going to skip that game. That's like a playoff quality game, and there's no reason to take a playoff quality game ever in baseball during the regular season. Next up, Washington, St. Louis, Strasburg, Flaherty. I feel like you got to add a flame after you say Flaherty. Strasburg, I mean, look, St. Louis's offense really isn't that scary. They have not been hitting well at all. Goldschmidt's been, well, let's just say, not doing anything. And Strasburg, he looked good in his last start, like really good. He completely shut down, was it the Braves? Yeah, 6 innings, 8 Ks, 1 hit. Now he's facing St. Louis. But this one's on the road, and he's going up against Flaherty, who is the best pitcher for St. Louis. Flaherty struggled in his first start, came back to life in his second start. While the Nationals are probably the better team here, and, you know, you technically can take them, I'm going to say you skip this game because there's no reason to take an ace for an ace on 2 playoff contender teams. So we're going to skip that one. We're going to go to, well, this game is a definite skip, but let's just give it a preview anyways. Shane Bieber of Cleveland, which is like, you know, the only safe time to put money on Cleveland is when Bieber's on the mound. But he's going up against Giolito and the White Sox. No reason to take this game. That's like the Cy Young picture right there. Over under 6.5, but you know what? Both offenses can hit. both offenses can hit, so I'm not in love with this one either. Next up, Angels, Kansas City. We got Bundy and Duffy on the mound. Duffy had a good debut. As a very surprise debut. Was against Toronto. It was against Cleveland. In Cleveland, 6 innings, 5 Ks, no earned runs. On the other hand, we got Bundy, who's been pitching solid all year. This Royals offense really hasn't been hitting well at all. And this Angels offense, well, they can just explode against Kansas City. I trust Bundy. Bundy's become a pitcher that you can rely on. But most importantly, this Angels offense, well, look, Rendon probably will not play today, which is a big loss. But they still got Trout, Upton. You know what? The lineup's not looking as good as it was 10 seconds ago. We're not going to put this under lock, because here's the truth. While Bundy is good and trustworthy and all that, and a bag of potato chips, I was going to say something else, which might have been more fitting. While that is the case, the reality is we can't trust it. We can go on Angels somewhere else, but it's not the most trustworthy play here. Over under 8.5, one touch it, because Angels offense can take over. But Angels can win that game. All right, next up, Detroit, Houston. Odorizzi on the mound against Matthew Boyd. Odorizzi should actually throw a really strong game here, because this Detroit Tiger team does not hit good throwing righties that well. That's just like the truth. But this is the first start of the year for Odorizzi, so that's a big decision to make here. And Matthew Boyd is the ace for Detroit, so I would not put this under the lock category at all. This could be a low scoring game. Over under 9 is actually under 9 runs is pretty solid play here. I'd go under first 5, because that Detroit bullpen is really not scary. And even though Houston's bullpen isn't bad, the wrong pitching matchup could be a problem. I would go small under first 5-5 for them. Next up, we got Luis Castillo, Kevin Gausman. Castillo looked great. Well, I shouldn't say looked great in his last start against Pittsburgh. He definitely had a lot of help from his defense. But he is definitely capable of having another strong start in San Francisco. It's almost like a dream scenario for Castillo to be in anywhere else but Cincinnati, especially a pitcher's ballpark. LaStella, Yastrzemski, Bell, you know what, Longoria, Dickerson, Crawford, those guys can hit, but Castillo can also overpower all of them. Gausman, on the other hand, Gausman's been looking very strong this season. Like, he's proven that he's for real. All that scouting report in Baltimore, even though he never lived up to it, well, it was kind of for real. He shut down Seattle. He shut down San Diego. Both on the road. Home debut. I could see this being a very low-scoring game. But then again, Cincinnati's offense is so explosive. And let's not forget, Kevin Gausman used to pitch for Cincinnati, I don't believe, besides Votto. Maybe Barnhart, maybe, was the only guys left on that squad. In the end, we would say Cincinnati is the winner, or the under. But I'm not in love with it. Last game of the night. Colorado, LA Dodgers. Trevor Bauer on the mound. Senzatel on the mound. Senzatel is very underrated, but Trevor Bauer is as good as it gets. And this Colorado team out of Colorado is just not the same. The Dodgers offense is healthy enough where they can definitely give Bauer some run support. LA Dodgers should win this game. Is it guaranteed? We'll decide that later. But that is the baseball report for now. Let's do basketball, and we'll come back with the end picks. All right, so it's basketball. It's a full NBA slate. We gotta love that it's not a full NBA slate. So let's look at what we have on tap. first game that's starting at 1 o'clock is Pacific Time, Brooklyn and Minnesota. Very interesting game, though. Karl-Anthony Towns, which really makes the Timberwolves not that strong of a team. Kevin Durant's playing. Blake Griffin's playing. No Kyrie Irving either. So in a way, this game is kind of even. Kevin Durant's going to have to score 30 points by himself for sure. If Kevin Durant doesn't score 30, then Minnesota's going to win. Most likely. It's a back-to-back for Brooklyn, so don't be surprised if KD even sits out tomorrow's game. Let's go on to the main slate. Starts at 4:30 Pacific time, Clippers-Pacers. No Kawhi Leonard. We got a Pacers team that's without Miles Turner. This Clippers team's really not that scary defensively without Kawhi Leonard. Sure, George can somewhat guard LeVert, but there's just too many options. Brogdon can do what he wants against Reggie Jackson. Justin Holiday. They might try to find a way for Holiday to guard George. Otherwise, Marcus Morris will have to shoot a lot, which he's definitely always willing to do. Zubac, Sabonis should have his way. Zubac should still get some nice numbers in the process. The bench, though, for the Clippers, well, they're going to have to make it work with veterans like Rondo, Batum. Terrence Mann's not really an offensive guy. McConnell's going to run a nice system. McDermott's going to shoot a lot. Lamb's going to shoot a lot. Clippers are in trouble as far as keeping up scoring-wise with the Pacers bench. And then even the Pacers starters should really have their way more or less. I'm going to say Indiana wins this game. Next up, Atlanta-Toronto. Toronto just throwing in the towel now. They're done. Atlanta, they got guys that can score. They got a good offensive team. Well, we'll see if Trae Young plays. He's questionable at the moment. But assuming Trae Young plays, one, Capella's going to get a lot of rebounds. Capella is definitely going to be a rebound machine in this one. Boucher has done well against Capella in the past. He's going to have to do well again. Gary Trent Jr. is going to have to fire away with no Lowry there. Siakam against Hill. Solomon Hill is probably the perfect defender for him. So it's really going to be a lot of Trent shooting threes, and that means a lot of Capella rebounds. And then Atlanta's just got so much more offense, just from Lou Williams off the bench to Bogdanovich. Well, OG could kind of slow him down, but Trae Young, Kevin Huerter should have his way. Kind of sounding less and less possible the more I get into it, but Atlanta definitely has a chance to win this game. Would have been nice if Collins was not there. I mean, if Collins was there, but I'd go Atlanta if I had to decide. But Capella rebounds is really the safe choice. 224.5. I would go under 224.5 as well. That's a lot of points. Lakers, Hornets. Drummond's actually, I believe, not playing in this game. Neither is Kuzma. Let's confirm that. I know PJ Washington is not playing. Yeah, so Drummond's list is questionable. I'm going to take that as he is not playing in this one. So, on the other hand, the Hornets are very shorthanded. There's no Rozier. There's no Washington. This is a very, like, C-minus Hornets squad right here. Like, actually, more like a D+. Miles Bridges is their go-to guy, and Devontae Graham, of course. But Schroeder is really the best guy in the court here. Montrezl Harrell should be able to dominate, but him versus Biombo will actually be a fun matchup. It's going to be a very low-scoring game, I'll say that much. Markieff Morris is going to have to do enough. Who would have thought that the Morris twins would be such big fantasy factors this part of the season? In the end, definitely a low-scoring game. I mean, I don't see how any team can reach 100 with the offenses that they got, especially if Kuzma and Drummond are out. I'm going to put under Lakers, Hornets. If the game was in LA, I'd say Lakers, but it's in Charlotte. I'm going to say under. There's just no offense here. OKC, Utah. First of all, Utah is going to be without Ingles, they're going to be without Royce O'Neal, and they're going to be without Clarkson. So this makes this Utah team very thin, very shallow. Even though they're so shallow, it really comes down to Gobert bossing Moses Brown, which will probably happen. Bazley Niang are actually a good matchup. Kenrick Williams and Bogdanovich, that's a good matchup as well. Dort against Donovan Mitchell. Dort's going to have to prove that he's worth all that he is worth in this one. In the end, this game really should not be that close. I would go OKC, going to lose by more than 16.5 if I had to, but I wouldn't even touch this one. Utah is going to win. 222, that's kind of a high total, in my opinion, especially for a game with no bench. I'm going to say under 222 for OKC and Utah. There's really just no offense for OKC and Utah. They're not going to be able to score as easily as you think. Under 222. One horrible quarter, and that's the end of that. Boston, Portland, the city that never sleeps. I don't know, I guess, for Portland these days. Look, with Nurk and Kanter, they're just so big. But Boston has the size with Williams and Tristan Thompson. Then Tatum, Covington, that's the worst matchup for Tatum that he could possibly deal with, is Covington guarding him. Jaylen Brown, Norman Powell. Brown's going to have to be very aggressive. Smart will be guarding Lillard. McCollum will go off. You know what? This is a game where Portland definitely has the edge just all around, all around. I know it's only -1.5 now that I look, but they really have an edge in this one. Portland's going to win this game. They got better guards. They got Covington, who can slow down Tatum. We have to assume that that is what ends up happening. Norman Powell and Brown can end up with very similar numbers. And then Kanter, Nurk should dominate down low. Melo's a threat off the bench. Derek Jones can come in and play D against any of those Brown versus Tatum guys. They won't skip a beat. Boston's in trouble here. Portland's going to win that game. Last but not least, last game of the night, Miami Heat, Phoenix Suns. Phoenix on a back-to-back. Look, they got Mikal Bridges, who can guard Jimmy Butler, which is big. But it's the shooting off the bench of Hero and Dragic, which really makes this Miami team almost like two teams. Bam Adebayo should have a big game against Ayton. He should have a big game against Dario, whoever they throw in there. Bam's going to have to do a ton of work. I would take the over on rebounds for Bam, because there's going to be a lot of outside shooting from Phoenix, and Bam's going to need to crash the boards. Though Butler will crash the boards too. If Bam's over 9.5, you can take the over 9.5, because DeAndre Ayton's going to keep him pretty modest, and it's going to be a lot of jump shots, and Bam's going to have to really be the focal point of the offense. He's going to get assists too. If it's 12 points, 10 rebounds, 4 assists, so a total of 26.5, I'm sure it won't be. And you know, in this case, if you want to go small in his rebounds, you can do that. Is Phoenix going to win? They could. This is too even of a game. The color schemes are even too even. The logos are too even. It's like one ball's going up, one ball's going down, one ball has flames around it, one ball's got fire around it. It's really just like the most even matchup. Not even going to touch it. All right, so let's recap both NBA and MLB. And that's how we'll conclude today's show. Portland, we're going to say yes, they should beat Boston. Not definitely will beat Boston, but should beat Boston. OKC, Utah, that should be under 222. I'm with that for sure. Lakers, Hornets, under 206.5. There's just not that much offense for really either team. I mean, Lakers, I guess, have more offense. know what? I'm not going to take it. 206.5 is way too close to home. I'm not going to take it. If you want to take it small on the side, go for it. But I'm not going to put it as far as the main square. Atlanta, Toronto. Let's see the report on Trae Young. If Trae Young is playing, then things change. If Trae Young plays, then things change. If Trae Young plays, then I'm going to say Atlanta for sure. All right, Trae Young, still a game time decision. Well, if Trae Young plays, then we'll put Atlanta there. Put a note if Trae plays. Actually, if Trae plays, I'm going to go ahead and say that that's almost one of the locks. And then we also have the over on rebounds for Capella. That's a great one. Honestly, that should just be, as long as that's 13.5, you'll get it. Let's see, what other NBA plays? Clippers, Indiana. Yeah, I like Indiana. Indiana just has a lot more scoring than the other teams. All right, now let's do the baseball final takes. Final takes. Final takes. Are you good with the under 8.5? Gollin should pitch a good game. Lizardo should pitch a good game. I'm fine with the under 8.5 for the Oakland AZ game, especially under the first five. Seattle, Baltimore, do we want to take it? I don't want to take it. Sheffield's too good. Baltimore could win, but I don't want to take it. Don't want to take Phillies, Mets. Blake Snell, we're going to take that one for sure. We're going to put that on the San Diego money line. You can do the points. You can do all the above with San Diego. First five, minus 0.5. They should have no problem taking care of the Pirates. Seattle, we're not going to do game two. We're not going to do game two of Seattle-Baltimore. We're going to say Yankees should win. Should win. We're not going to put them in the muck. Definitely will win. Yeah, they should win. Ryuk should have trouble. Yankees offense should hit. Rangers, Tampa. Tampa should win. Should win against Gibson. Nothing's locked there. In fact, you know what? Just because Gibson's coming off of a shutout, we're going to put that just by on the, probably not even going to play. Next up, let's see, you're going through the list. Are the Angels going to win? Bundy should escape trouble. He should escape trouble throughout the game. Duffy will likely run into a lot of middle, a lot of bats in the middle of that lineup. We're going to say Angels should win after all. Angels should win. Reds, Giants. Reds should win. Castillo should pitch better than Gausman, but that game can be an under also. Then again, both offense are hitting somewhat. I know technically this is what you dream of with Castillo, but he hasn't looked all that sharp this year. I mean, let's look at stats here. He gave up 4 hits against the Pirates, only 5 Ks, which isn't good. He really struggled against St. Louis. This is his first game on the road. I'm not in love. I'm not in love with the Coco. Dodgers, Rockies, Bauer against Senzatella. Senzatella is very underrated. This Dodger team should win. We're not going to add it. We'll see. You can add one to the Dodgers with everything. So it seems like the lock picks are San Diego, Dodgers, Indiana, Pacers, and Atlanta. I'm just going to say Dodgers, San Diego. And then you can do the minus 0.5 and the, for both squads. Then you got just a wild parlay. wild round robin, we should say. A wild, wild round robin. But there's definitely good picks in here. Best pick of the day is San Diego. If you were to do anything, just do it on San Diego. You can go money line for the first five. You can take them 0.5 for the first five. But San Diego minus 246, even though it's on the road, that is the best game of all the games there are. I am Munchrudamus. This was Beast the Odds.